Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ and seekers of the truth, this is the 39th edition of SDG, Sola Dea Gloria. And the title of today's message is Our New Identity with Christ. We're going to focus on 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. You know, last week we looked at the anatomy of temptation. And the week before that, we were encouraged to wage war and sin, with sin and win. You know, not only can we, but we must. And this week we're going to learn the key to resisting temptation and achieving victory over sin. You know, this is perhaps the one key to victory that Satan, also known as Lucifer, as he goes about in our churches with his ministers as angels of light, does not want us as sons of God to know. When we understand this one point, our new identity in Jesus Christ, all things become new. All things. And that's what's so exciting. We do truly have victory over sin. We don't have to sin anymore. And when we do that, and when we start to walk on the highway to holiness, the narrow way, When we start practicing righteousness, amazing things will begin to happen. Why? Because the vessel is full, and no longer is the Holy Spirit merely resident in our spirits. He becomes present in our bodies. He begins to manifest, and then we walk like Jesus walked in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. He's showing us the way, and that's what this is all about. So let me start with a question. Did you know that as true believers, Jesus became one with us that we might become one with him? Now notice I ask whether you knew we might become one with him. And that's true. So few believers get this. So few believers do because they lack understanding, in large part because of those sneaky angels of light I told you about, known as men of renown from Genesis 6:4, the men who crept in unaware. Over in Jude chapter 1, verse 4, these men were the men of condemnation. But as sons of God, I'm telling you, we must know when he died, we died with him. We must. His resurrection had our name on it. And I'm telling you, we must know when he rose, we rose with him. And his victory had our name on it. And we must know when he won that victory, so did we. And that victory is the victory over sin and death. So if we're in Christ, then we're new creatures. And that means that we are there with him. Now and then. Now and 2,000 years ago at the cross at Calvary. This is the mystery of the ages that Paul spoke of in Colossians chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's so exciting when we get this. You know, had the princes of the world known this, they would have never crucified the Lord. They wouldn't have. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8, which none of the princes of this world known. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So let me ask you another question. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, sometimes that thought causes me to tremble. Tremble, tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they nailed him to the cross? Were you there when they pierced him in the side? Were you there when the sun refused to shine? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? And then, and this is the key, were you there when he rose up from the grave? Were you? In 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, John wrote, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. And why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Did you get that? Wow. So today, let's focus on the last part of that verse. Because as he is, so are we in this world. And how is he? He is risen. He is risen indeed. And this is called, in biblical theological terms, the biblical doctrine of our identity in Jesus Christ. But we can more casually just call it our supernatural union with and in Christ Jesus. Praise Jesus. So now, let me just stress this. When we understand this biblical truth, we'll have Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost 365 days a year. And most importantly, victory over sin and a supernatural life lived like Jesus lived it in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's several points to remember concerning this amazing foundational truth. First, our identity in Jesus Christ is a powerful truth. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, Paul wrote, "For he hath made us to be sin." "For he has made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So now remember, Jesus, he wasn't a sinner, but he was made to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And what are we going to focus on now? Remember, he for us, we in him. That's the key here. That's our identity in Jesus. Now, our identity And Jesus Christ is multifaceted. First, like that song goes, and I read the lyrics to that great hymn, Were You There? We are identified with Christ Jesus in his death at Calvary. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, But God commandeth his love towards us that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That means he died as our substitute. His death had my name on it. His death had your name on it. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And the truth is, if you are truly born again, you were there, and you died there on that cross because his death was for you. And that's the point. Christ died for us. He had no other reason to die except for us. He wasn't subject to the penalty of sin because he was without sin. He could have translated out to heaven anytime he wanted because he was without the wage of sin, which was death. He could have called down a legion of angels and said, get out of here. You know, those nails didn't hold Jesus to the cross. Jesus was held to that cross by his faithfulness, his love for us. That's what held him to the cross. So let this just sink into your hearts. Jesus became the Son of Man so that we might become the sons of God. Jesus took our sins so that we might take his innocence. Jesus became guilty that we might be acquitted. Jesus took our despair that we might be filled with joy. Wow! Jesus took our sin that we might have his glory. Jesus endured the pangs of hell that we might know the joys of heaven. Praise Jesus. So the point here is we're identified with him in his death, but also we're identified with Jesus Christ in his resurrection. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 reads, Therefore we are buried with him by baptism. That's what our baptism represents. Our death, burial, and resurrection. That we, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So Jesus had a life that the grave couldn't hold. And we are not only with him on the cross, but we're to be with him in the resurrection. The second part of Romans chapter 5, verse 10 reads, Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. That means that, sure, We've been freed from the penalties of sin by his death. But get this, when we finally realize our identity in Jesus Christ, we can start to live that resurrection life. So this is a supernatural power now for every believer because we have identity with the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. That means that if Jesus was raised for you and you were buried with him, you were raised with him. And you now have the resurrection life. Now, not later. We're not waiting for the resurrection later. We have the resurrection now. So please get this point. We have the resurrection life now. All we must do is take up our crosses and follow Jesus. And when we do this, when we exercise saving faith, and you know what I call saving faith, forsaking all, I trust him. When we do that, we can also be identified with Christ Jesus and his victory over sin. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. Always remember, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. When Jesus died on that cross, he had victory over Satan. Jesus said, Now is the prince of the world cast out. Now is the judgment of this world. So now his victory is my victory, and his victory can also be your victory. If Jesus has victory, so do we. Because he has won, we have won. So our identity in Christ Jesus is an incredibly powerful truth, and that's the point. But our identity with Jesus Christ is also a very present and practical truth. Remember, as he is, so are we in the world. Not when we get to heaven, but now. So I hear so many of my brothers and sisters in the faith say, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be just like Jesus." But that's not what our focus verse is saying. The verse says, "As he is, so are we in the world." And so may I say, here, sitting in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, I'm like Jesus right now. You sitting wherever you are, doing whatever you're doing as you listen to this message, you are just like Jesus is right now. And how is Jesus? He is risen. He is risen indeed. So we can live the power of that resurrection life if we tear down the strongholds and any vain imagination that comes between us and knowing God, and take every thought captive in obedience to Jesus Christ, and transform our minds, no longer conforming them to the ways of this world, but renewing them in Christ Jesus. Remember, we share in the mind of Jesus Christ, which is the wisdom and power of God. That's incredible. So I'm saying, if you're saved, if you're truly saved, you are to be identified with Jesus in this world here and now. And if you're truly saved, and if this is really the way you are, this has several practical implications. First, his wisdom is our wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. You know, most people, most Christians say, I need wisdom. But we already have it if we have Jesus. We only need to lay hold of it. Remember, as he is, so are we. Do you get it? So, were you there when they crucified my Lord? The point is, claim the wisdom of Jesus now. The problem is we fail to ask for the wisdom that we've already been given. We don't have to ask, we just have to appropriate. Sure, it's good to pray for these things, but I want to tell you this. You have to pray with no regard for iniquity. And what's that mean in Psalm 66:18? The psalmist wrote, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. This means that you can't come to the Lord in prayer with petitions if you harbor sin. The only prayer that God will hear in the life of a sinner or a believer harboring sin is, Lord, save me. Lord, have mercy on me. That's the only prayer he'll hear. But, you know, there's more than wisdom. Getting back to the point, there's more than wisdom. We also share in his joy. His joy is our joy. So if you don't have it now, and if you're wondering why you don't have it, well, let me tell you, because you haven't realized what you have in the resurrection life with Jesus Christ. In John 15:11, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Remember, I did a message a while back on abiding in Jesus. And all you have to do is surrender to him, depend upon him, rest in him, obey him. And when you do those things that Jesus taught in John 14 and 15, then his joy will be complete in you. Just remember, as he is, so are we in this world. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Do you have that joy? If not, you're living below your privileges in Jesus Christ. The Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The secret here is that joy transcends whatever else happens. Realize it's not happiness that depends on hap or circumstances. Happiness is what the world promises and our souls seek, whereas joy, and get this, please get this, is what heaven gives and our spirits surrender to. It's rooted in the Lord Jesus Christ. But not only is his wisdom our wisdom and his joy our joy, his sorrow is also our sorrow. You know, the abundant Christian life is not some giddy life. We're not supposed to be going around like a bunch of loud back-slapping morons all the time with never a serious thought, you know? I'm telling you that if you live in this world, and if you are as Jesus is, then you'll know a broken heart. And it doesn't have to be antithetical to joy. As a matter of fact, joy doesn't take away pain. What joy does is joy helps us bear the pain. Look what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And Paul said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made comfortable unto his death. That's powerful. So have you ever prayed for suffering like Paul did? You know, when you walk in the Spirit, his sorrow is supposed to be your sorrow. And what breaks his heart ought to be breaking your heart. Just know that when you experience those sorts of things, you're being filled with the compassion of Jesus Christ. Because that compassion isn't found in us. It's placed in us by the Holy Spirit. You know, the modern church has been called a dry-eyed church in a hell-bent world. And I like that phrase, not because it's good, but because it aptly describes where we're at and it tells us what we must do. You know, we're getting our entertainment from many things that breaks his heart. Many believers are watching frivolous, foolish, even sinful things on television and laughing at them. Remember, as he is, so are we in this world. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? And I can tell you that the heart of our Savior is truly broken over the sins that are in this world. And I'm going to ask you this, do you have a broken heart? I have to ask myself that question every day. You know, I have to ask myself that question before I deliver these messages and before I lead my Bible studies in my church and before I write the Bible studies. You know, I have to say, Ken, do you really believe what you're saying, or are you just saying it? And I got to tell you this, I do believe it. He has convicted me. The Holy Spirit has convicted me, and I just thank the Lord for that. So we must remember that his joy is our joy, and his sorrow is our sorrow. And his friends are our friends. You know, Jesus said over in Matthew 25:40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as ye have done unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done unto me. So when you do something for a brother of Jesus Christ, it's as if you did it for Jesus himself. So if you love Jesus, you'll love those whom he has loved. And if you don't love the brethren, you know, there are certain conclusions in order. There was this pastor from a while back, and I've heard some of his sermons. His name is Pastor Vance Havner. He was an old-time Baptist preacher from North Carolina. And this man was in love with Jesus and full of wisdom. And he said, and I'm going to quote him here, when I see a bird that looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, you know, he talked with that southern twang, and it paddles in the water like a duck and prefers the company of ducks, I must conclude it to be a duck. So the point here is, and what Pastor Havner was trying to say is, when you see people who live like the world, who dress like the world, and act like the world, and prefer the company of the world rather than the company of God's people, they're of this world. So if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, if you truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to love what Jesus loves, and Jesus loves the church. He loves the brethren. His friends are our friends. Remember, as he is, so are we in this world. And I'm going to ask again, were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there? And likewise, his enemies are our enemies. Now get this, there's no way that you can live a life here and now as a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and not make some enemies. You simply can't be in Christ Jesus without having some enemies. Look what John wrote in 15, verses 18 through 20. And if the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. This is Jesus talking. This is John giving the account of the actual words of Jesus. These are the red letter words. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. So the point here is, a man's known by his enemies. So I'm telling you, don't expect to be popular with everyone. I sure am not. But we just can't expect to be popular in the world that crucified our Lord. Now, that doesn't mean we're not to love our enemies, because Jesus loved his enemies. He prayed for those who crucified him. So this doesn't mean we're supposed to be filled with hate and spite. We're not. You know, sure, there's enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ, but Paul said, I tell you weeping that they are enemies. But we're to love them, and we're to pray for them. So you see, this doctrine of our identity in Christ Jesus, first it's powerful, and then there's a presence to it, and a practicality to it, and then this doctrine of our identity is also purposeful. And the point here is that his purpose is our purpose. Jesus said in John 20, verse 21, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. So the point here is that his purpose is our purpose. And we should have a heart for mission and soul saving. You know, over in Luke 19:10, it's written, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Now, are you thinking, well, I just don't have what it takes? Well, you don't. But remember, he does. And remember, just remember, because as he is, so are we in this world. And I'm going to ask you again, were you there when they crucified my Lord? If so, then there's some very key points here to remember. First, if you were, then his authority is our authority. In Matthew 28:18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And that word power there is authority. And the point is, it's ours. So we are to do, we are to do it with him. He is with us always. And you know, Jesus had authority over the devil, and so do we. Greater is he that is in you than he who is in the world. When he died, we died. When he rose, we rose. So we have his authority, and the devil and all his minions. Hope we'll never learn this truth. Remember what I said when I opened this message. And you think, what about those that got martyred? Doesn't that mean the devil won? No, the devil was lost. That was his blunder. The Bible says they overcame him, that's the devil, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. The point here is, Satan's not winning, he's losing. The truth is, we have authority over all the power of the devil. The authority of Jesus Christ is our authority. Satan lost the battle. You know, and then next, remember, his victory, Jesus' victory, is ours. Jesus won, and so do we. You know, there was this Baptist missionary named Miss Mitchell. She went to India. She grew up and lived in Los Angeles, and she went to India. She had great ambitions to be a missionary. And when she got there, she found herself very unhappy. There were five things that troubled her. First, where she went to live, she was assigned to this older missionary couple, and she just didn't get along with them. She was very unhappy in that place where the missions board placed her. And secondly, she had an extreme difficulty with the language. And thirdly, she was overcome with homesickness. And fourthly, she began to even loathe the sight of the people in India. And fifthly, she came down with this really bad form of dysentery. So she had these five great problems. And she finally just decided she was going to give up, pack it all up, and go home. So she told the missions boards that she just needed to go back home. And then before she departed for a return to Los Angeles, she was reading in her devotions about Joshua in chapter 10 of Joshua, where he had a victory given to him by God. And there were these five kings that he had captured in a cave. And Joshua said to his captains, bring those five kings out. Roll the stone away from that cave. And then Joshua said, put them down in the ground. And then he said to the captains, you come and put your heel on the neck of these kings. And one by one, the captains went down. And one by one, they came and they put their heels on the necks of those kings. And here's what Joshua said in verse 25 of chapter 10. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all of your enemies against whom you fight. Did you hear that? That's a promise from God. So when the missionary, when Miss Mitchell read these things, she took those five great problems, she wrote them on a piece of paper, and she put those pieces of paper on the ground, and she put her heel on each of them, and she said, I claim victory over you. I claim victory over you. I claim victory over you. If Jesus has the victory, so do I. And you know what happened? She began to love where she was staying with that other couple. She got a language teacher, and she became very good in the language. She grew to love the Indian people. And then this young man saw her living a life full of Jesus Christ, and he fell in love with her, and they got married and became missionaries together, and they moved out of that place. And really incredibly, her body got healed of the dysentery, and she gained victory by realizing the authority that Jesus Christ had and that authority that was vested to her. So she began to live in that authority. Now, I'm going to I'm going to run out of time here. Just pick up the last part of this message. It's only a few minutes. But I'm just going to ask you this. Isn't that an awesome story? So in closing, not only is his authority our authority, and his victory our authority, his victory our victory, but his future is our future. Now just stop and let that sink in. His future is ours. Paul wrote in Colossians 3, verse 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now just think about that. Can you imagine being with Jesus Christ in glory? Oh, has that ever just dawned on you? Have you ever just let that sink in? You know, he can appear at any moment. And if we are found without spot or blemish, and that means to be practicing righteousness, then we will appear with him in glory. You know, he came to a cradle and a manger and to a cross, but he's coming down again. He's coming back with a crown and a coronation. You know, he came the first time as one that we might become one with him, and we're to be identified with him. And then we're to begin to receive Jesus Christ. We're begin to receive him as our resurrection hope. Now, this all starts when you receive him as Lord and Savior. So I'm just going to ask you, have you received Jesus as Lord and Savior? Just remember, 1 John 14:17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because, and this is what we want to walk away from today and live, as he is, so are we in this world. Now just let that sink in. Just let that sink in, because as he is, so are we in the world. So, were you there when they crucified our Lord?
You know, we take for granted the gift of music sometimes and the messages it brings. The sacrifice that God gave for us on our behalf. He's done so much. That's why your hearts resonated for a moment there. You were captured because you could agree. It was like your spirit was testifying. Were you there? He was there for you. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Sometimes it causes me to tremble. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? In the tomb.
I love my Lord Jesus, and I was there, and I love all you. That's why I do these messages. So were you there when they crucified my Lord? Remember, because he is, so are we in this world. So go out and live the resurrection life in Jesus Christ. You do have victory over sin in Jesus. I love you all. Have a great day serving the King.